Hey, y'all, this is Trent Knox. In this podcast, I know I need to get this out for those of you listening to this in audio form to tell you guys the importance that you need to be concerned about the outbreak of this pandemic, COVID-19, aka coronavirus. The most important thing, of course, is your health, but even more disastrous than that and the impact that this is going to have on our economic state in the United States and globally. The closure of most bars, restaurants, and in public venues and activities is really going to be seen for quite some time. The economy may not recover within the next 4 to 5 years. So stay tuned for more updates, but listen to this, and I hope that you are able to get some good information from the data that I provide in this podcast.
Okay, hey y'all, this is Trent Knox, and I want to dive right into this podcast. I'm going to be opening up the chat just in case anyone comes into this and needs some answers or is curious about what is currently going on with this pandemic, COVID-19, commonly called the coronavirus, okay? So, the coronavirus was originally considered to be an ammonia and I'm going to butcher this. I'm going to have to look it up and pronounce it correctly. I don't want to butcher this. This is why I definitely want to say this correctly. But in Southeast China, in the Wuhan district, okay, and it was originally thought to be a severe case of ammonia, and it has now developed and transformed into a much more disastrous, severe viral, almost flu and ammonia and bronchitis all together. And I'm not a physician, so I am getting my information from both the legislative process, the judicial process, the Health and Human Resources, CDC, FDA, and I'm listening to what the experts have to say about this. But from what we currently know from the World Health Organization is that it consists of a cold-like symptoms, like a bronchitis, like something stuck inside of your chest, with pneumonia, which is your, you know, which is kind of like a nauseous, vertigo feeling. You may experience it in different ways, but the worst case scenario of COVID-19 and the coronavirus is your respiratory system will fail, and you will be unable to breathe. It'll be as if you cannot breathe. It's very difficult to breathe, and it could put you in a very, very vulnerable situation. Hello, hey, Halcon KC on Twitch. The reason why I wanted to call for this emergency podcast is because just not 10 minutes ago, the President of the United States called for a recommendation of restricting all public activities of 10 or more people for the next a little bit over 2 weeks, 15 days to slow the spread of this virus. And from what we understand right now, the virus can be contracted off of surfaces, and it lives on surfaces for 2 to 3 days. Okay. And so while people, there has been this mass hysteria as far as consumer goods have been concerned, like toilet paper, toiletries, flu and cold medicine, over the counter, sanitizing wipes and alcohol-based hand sanitizers. They have been flying off the shelves. In addition to those, you have your staples like water bottles, bread. Your staples are flowing and flying off the shelves. Commercial goods are flying off the shelves. At the same time that that is happening, small businesses, medium-sized businesses in the trucking industry are laying off their drivers because of the consequences and the reactions of investors as they sell from the stock market. The stock market is currently at a record, has record losses. It is currently at trading at 11% below, 11 to 12% lower than the national average usually. Okay. And yesterday the stock futures hit what was called a limit bottom, which means that if futures hit below 5% of their normal trading value, then they will restrict the trading for that day. The market will be closed if it hits below 5% trading value. So what the worst part that we haven't even seen the worst of this yet. So as we what we're dealing with right now is way different than a recession. As economists have been on talking on C-SPAN, on Bloomberg, on many different outlets, the biggest issue that we're going to be facing is the fact that investors and traders and people within the business and Wall Street are in a market hysteria right now. We were in the longest bear market of all time, and this epidemic, this pandemic that is currently facing the world, has made it so that investors are selling off their stocks and their investments in these companies that rely on their market evaluation. So that's just like, that's a third of the issue. That's maybe not even a third of the issue. But here's the bigger portion. The transportation industry and the layoffs will directly impact the oil and gas industry. So prior to all of this mass hysteria, the oil and gas industry faced a collapse, and the price of oil dropped dramatically. So the oil and gas industry was already facing layoffs, getting rid of their roughnecks, getting rid of their licensed drivers, just laying off mass layoffs. So the impact from that market crash to the commercial goods and the corporate world is about to see it tenfold. And the reason why that's happening is because there haven't been assurances made toward corporate America that they will also be protected by the government during these times of need. The conversation about this current state of the economy, at least for the United States, and for those of you listening from other nations, I'm not quite up to understanding what's currently going on in other nations with their economies. I do know that there has been heavy social impact and humanitarian issues within countries, let's say like Italy, or countries like China, and then France being the second most infected country in the European Union, in the UK or in Europe, not the UK, but I'm trying to make this as clear as possible. So initially what happened was the president made a mandate a couple days ago, probably Friday or Thursday. There's so much that's happened. The president of the United States mandated that there would be a restriction across 120 something like that countries in Europe. And then he took some of those countries away, but he increased it to cover the United Kingdom. And the reason why that was is because there was a spike in reported cases and deaths within the United Kingdom. And if I've been personally viewing both the I forgot what it was called, the worldometer or the world meter, and I've also been keeping up with the tracking on a live, I think it's called Royal Stats on YouTube. Royal Lab Stats, I think. Is that what it is? I'm confirming right now. Roy Lab Stats. They've got a current total of pretty much all the countries right now. And one of the things that's most disturbing about this, at least for the United States, is that the current death toll over the course of 4 days has gone up by 10 people each day. And the death toll is rising above our recovery rate. And it takes the worst part about this, as far as the health concerns are, is that in rural America, suburban America, and even in some cases urban America, and I'm not talking about socioeconomic status when I say these things. When I say these things, I'm talking about geolocations. Okay, so in the case of geolocations, the further proximity you have to a urban urban city, let's take Los Angeles or New York or Miami as examples. The further you are from those places, the less access you have to testing centers or testing facilities, sorry, laboratories. And those laboratories that are running those tests currently are taking about a turnaround time of a week to get the tests back, because what the health experts, at least in the White House, have been saying is that they aren't able to get the technology, which means like the testing tubes and the laboratory requirements for proper testing of COVID-19, because now we're going to go even deeper with this one. The sample sizing and the beginning of working towards getting a vaccine happened today within the United States. And it happened with one individual within Seattle. This is reports coming out of the White House at their last press conference. And if you're watching this and you can see the live feed, you can see that I have up what the CDC and the White House have confirmed is the best practices for March 16th, 2020 at 4:12 p.m. Central Standard Time. This is the current most up-to-date recommendations for preventing the spread of COVID-19. It says 15 days to slow the spread. It says listen to and follow the directions of your state and local authorities. And if you are outside of the United States, it is recommended that you also follow these recommendations. Also, listen to your national government, whatever that may be, wherever you are. Listen and pay attention, because you do not want to be the one sick or the one behind the curve when the economic impact comes from this virus. So if you feel sick, stay at home. Do not go to work. Contact your medical, your nearest medical provider, not your medical provider, your nearest medical provider. And this is where we're starting to get into why we haven't seen the bill passed in the Senate for the United States. And we can dig even deeper into this as we go, but I want to get the highlights out first. So go to your nearest ER, your nearest, what's the name for it? I'm blanking right now. Here we call it Next Care, or like remote health facilities. So it's like a little small ER or whatever for symptoms like this anyway. And then so if your children are sick, this is for families, whether they're your kids or your niece's kids or your sister's kids, whoever, you need to be monitoring and paying attention to your family. If children, not your children, if children are sick, keep them at home. Do not send them to your school, to their school, and contact your local medical provider, your nearest medical provider. If someone in your household has tested positive for the coronavirus, this is also called COVID-19, keep the entire household at home. Do not go to work. Do not go to school, and contact your nearest provider. I disagree with you, Mr. Matt Banks. To what degree would you consider a minor emergency? If you consider 10 people dying at scale, urgent care. Oh, you've got it. Boom. You got it. You're the man in that case. If you're an older person, this is something that was highly contested during this press conference, was what is the determination? How do you label an older person? I've heard personally from the sources that I listened to while they were in, along ABC, NBC, all of the major news sources, that they've pushed the age concern as far as back as 55 plus years. But then there's like this pocket of people who have said like 55 to 65 is the concern, is when you should start being concerned. Obviously, if you're 65 or above, you need to be massively concerned because of the degradation of your immune system when you are elderly. There are healthy elderly people out there, don't get me wrong, but a lot of elderly people are inactive. They don't take good care of themselves. Their nutrition is bad. They're basically, if you can get a cold, if you're able to get a cold as 55 or older, you should be concerned that your immune system is not capable of defending against COVID-19. This is This is an unprecedented virus. There's no other virus that has been anything like it. They're comparing this virus to a mixture of HIV and H1N1. These two things have been compared across across language within the White House, and the way that they need to be reacting toward the spread and the consequences of the virus. So be very, very, very cognizant and be responsible for the spread as well as your health concerns. And then stay at home and keep away from people. The White House, we shouldn't just say the president, the White House has recommended that you restrict social activity to 10 or less people when going out. And in addition to that, social distancing. So social distancing has been the, key word or key phrase that people have been putting out. And social distancing. If you're a person with a serious underlying health condition that can put you at an increased risk, for example, a condition that impairs your lung or heart function or weakens your immune system, stay at home and social distancing away from people. So now I'll probably have to come back later in this podcast and reiterate exactly what is being said right here as far as 15 days to slow the spread. But I just wanted to say, I just want to get on here and say to the people, everyone on Facebook, YouTube, Mixer, and Twitch, DLive, and Twitter, that that you should not be panicking in any manner, but you should be cognizant and you should be aware of the current events that may affect you, whether that's the economic impact, the physical impact, or the social impact that will happen due to the consequences of the COVID-19, aka coronavirus. Just give me a moment real quick while I look at something real quick. Okay. I think I'm squared away as far as I'm following all the rules on these social media platforms, but I'm trying to get this message out I'm trying to platform this information that I'm learning and hearing about. I currently have, like I said, I have the Royal Lab open. I have the Royal, not Royal Lab. Roy Lab stats open on my right screen, and I have the Senate on C-SPAN 2 on my left screen. And I think we should start talking about the current events as it pertains to employees, independent contractors, small businesses, and then we really don't know the impact or the resources that will be available for medium to large scale businesses. There's been this conversation of $1.5 billion being injected to the market, and then as a result, the Secretary Treasurer has talked about the IRS basically providing tax cuts in order to, or tax credits, not tax cuts, tax credits to subsidize the economic loss or economic injury that occurs from COVID-19, aka the coronavirus. So currently right now, what is going on, if you're not aware, but in the United States, the way that the the political system or the legislative or judicial branch, all these things interact with our, the executive system and the legislative branch, how they conduct business and how they make bills passed, is that it a bill originated in the House that basically, let me look exactly. I can't remember what the name of the bill was, or is, I should say. I can't remember. It's the Family First Coronavirus Relief Act. But then they have another name for this, like an internal name for it, but I'm having issues finding the internal name for it. Let me see. Families First Coronavirus Act. Let's see. It's the H.R. 6201, and it is passed through the House, and it is currently sitting in the Senate. And I am a very moderate person. I don't vote along party lines. I will vote a Republican, I'll vote a Democrat, I'll vote an independent. I'll vote in any form or fashion that I believe will put together the strongest team for solving problems. However, in this state right now, the United States legislative and executive systems are failing to provide American citizens and non-US nationals, non-citizens, the resources that they need economically and health reasons, medical reasons, they're not providing enough for the need of the people. So with the Family First Coronavirus Response Act or Relief Act, it's gone both ways as far as the titling. It is currently sitting in the Senate, and they are poised to reject the bill. And the reason why they're poised to reject the bill, from what we understand, and this again is March 16th, 2020 at 4:25 p.m. Central Standard Time, is because Democrats, Republicans aside, bipartisanship aside, they don't believe that the bill that was passed in the House is adequate enough to serve the American people and non-U.S. nationals within the United States, or however you want to call it, undocumented people. They believe that there's paid sick time issues. They believe there are issues with the tax cuts that they want to position, but they are positioned to reject the bill and send it back with edits to back with revisions to the House. However, the issue with that, if the Senate does not pass the bill today and rejects the bill, then we will have to wait until next week. And I'm not exactly sure what the date is. When does the House reconvene? The House is not positioned, or it's not subject to reconvene. Is the house on recess? Looking at it. The house is not set. Well, they could return to proceedings on the 19th. Because they are having a hearing on the oil and gas development in California. They could swap it and do their best to push the bill back through the House with if they come to an agreement, of course, and send it back. And I think it has to go back to the Senate, but that may not be true. It may be after it has gone through the Senate, gone back through the House, then it can go directly to the executive branch through executive powers to sign the bill into law, or into action, I should say, and start dispersing the $1 billion in relief for small businesses and unemployment, and the $50 billion in health and other resources to the local or to the regional government of the governors of each state. This morning, President Donald J. Trump and the governors of the 50 states, and I think including representatives from Puerto Rico and Samoa, all met over the did a telephone conference in regard to how or in regard to when this bill gets passed, because it will get passed. All time concerns aside, because the economic impact has already affected us. All time concerns aside, how they'll be able to distribute that information, or those resources, I should say, not the information. They're still having struggles to distribute the information, because people are still going to work, like, and not able to get paid sick leave. People aren't able to commute to work. It is a disaster. It is a disaster. Our system is not capable of mitigating the consequences of this pandemic, this virus. Many governors have equated it to being at war. Conspiracy theorists have called it a biological weapon released into the air through a pathogen. There has been a lot. There's a lot of people thinking about a lot of things, and a lot of people who don't have the correct information or are not critically thinking about this concern are fixating themselves on jokes, on not being serious. And there are jokes to be had. There are jokes to be had, because how did we even get ourselves into this situation is a joke. And understanding that it's not just about whether the toilet paper is not on the shelf, whether alcohol-based hand sanitizers are not something that you can get access to. It's more about the fact that production lines are most likely going to stop or halt, to that matter. There probably will no be will not be restocking. There's a huge concern that the fact that truck drivers who are independent contractors or sole proprietors or small businesses are going to have to stop conducting business, and because the oil and gas industry is collapsing, in addition to this global pandemic health crisis, and then in addition to that, the corporate world is falling flat on its face. You got a trifecta of things concerning of issues while we watch as the stock market crashes, and then people just want to act like, oh, no big deal, just senators going around posting lewd jokes about how, oh, we're gonna make it through this, and they're not been paying attention. All jokes are off the table now. The time for jokes is gone. Back when not to say that the virus hasn't been in the United States for longer than January, maybe it could have been here as long or the same amount of time that it had been in Wuhan. The wildness and ridiculousness of people to be like still making jokes about Corona Beer Company. It's long to past those jokes. People with the worst timing always make the jokes. The jokes that people, people on the cutting edge had been making long past these arrogant, ridiculous people who are not with the time. It is time to be critical and think of how to slow the growth or spread of this virus. And, I don't want to take up too much of you guys of y'all's time, and I just wanted to get out here and put this emergency podcast out and give as much information as I personally understand out to the people that listen to my channels, whether that's the podcast on all podcast platforms or the live stream. Wherever it may be that you get information from, wherever you look at entertainment, because clearly information and entertainment are in the same place. I would like to take some time and get some more information, and then bring it back with another update very soon, very soon, probably within the next 2 weeks, because we're looking at 2 weeks being the next point. We might have to rush that. You never know. There might be a new development within a week or less that could literally change the way that we live to a greater concern. This is not a joke. This is a real deal. This is a real issue. Billions, maybe even trillions of dollars have been lost in sales in many different industries. The fact that Apple has closed their retail stores for 2 weeks due to 1 to 2 cases being tested and confirmed over a week, that person over a week, those people were still working, still transmitting the virus, and the virus, it lives on surfaces for 2 to 3 days, and the death toll looks like 10, each day, 10 more people are dying, and those numbers aren't slowing down. Yesterday, the death toll was at 61. Now it's currently at 77 in the United States. Recoveries are not, there's no such thing as a recovery at this point. The arguments that people are making is that, or at least the experts in the health industry, health experts or the doctors at the White House are saying that local, they're saying that local physicians are not equipped or trained to properly manage this global pandemic virus. What can be said? Like, we currently at this point, and this is not day zero. This is 3 months into the virus already. And you know, I was making my jokes last year, about this, saying, ha ha, what do you think the price of, you know, do you think this will hurt the price of Corona or whatever? And then in January it was like, so what's going on? And now we're in March and it's a full blown, possibly a full blown recession, mixed with a global pandemic, mixed with, a collapse of the oil and gas industry. It's what can be said. This is a time to be concerned, at least not a time to panic. Panicking would be a very irrational, illogical, process. I think it's best that you read, up on current events. You contact your local, you contact your local representatives, and you make sure they're not being absolutely, ridiculous, and that they're being cognizant and responsible for the actions that need to be taken. Contact your labor unions, contact your commissions, contact the people that can, represent you, whether that's a physician, whether that's a lawyer, a politician. Contact those people, because times are about to get really hard. And you don't want to be that one person left out and not taken, the one person that acts irrationally, behaves irresponsibly, and does not stay concerned, and, does not have the resources that they need to weather the storm, weather this virus, and get through it. So I highly suggest that you watch the CDC, you watch the FDA, you watch all of your, you better watch your central banks, your Fed, everything, because this is very, very close to the collapse that happened, with the Greek, or in Greece, the collapse that happened in Greece, the current, the housing market. This is an unprecedented, global pandemic, as well as a economic, maybe a crash, maybe a depression. And, you definitely don't want to be left behind, as far as cognitively, processing this data and whatnot. So I suggest CDC, I suggest, your major news outlets. I suggest the White House, I suggest the Kremlin if you're in Russia. I suggest every single national state, whatever it is, especially in Tehran, pay attention to what they have to say. Pay attention. And last note, pay attention. I hope that you got, if you've been listening to this, that you've gotten the message, you understand the severity and of this concern. And that you are, if you'll be able to view this video, you can see 15 days to slow the spread, take those precautions, limit the amount of people to 10, because the CDC said 50, but the president has said 10. Yeah, just be responsible. And if you have any questions, don't hesitate to tweet me at Trent Knox. Don't hesitate to reach out to your local networks or anything that you have, to keep up on what kind of, what the proceedings are for your local area. I know that in the U.S. there's this kind of, we're in the middle of primaries and all of these different things are in elections and whatnot, but be responsible, wash your hands, don't touch your face, brush your teeth. I mean, do all the normal things. Just limit the amount of exposure you have to potentially harboring the virus or contracting / transmitting the virus. The virus again lives on surfaces from 2 to 3 days. A person can harbor the virus for however long. There's no confirmed date or specificity as long how long a person can harbor the virus. They don't particularly know. There's just so much that they don't know. Experts are trying to make statements. They retract on their statements. These are the things that I've heard from the health experts in New York, that they're saying that assume that everyone has the virus and that the virus is everywhere. So if they have a little bit of a cough, be concerned. Tell them to they will be in their best interest to keep social distancing, and in addition to having that little bit of a cough or cold or whatever it may be, they need to be preparing to get tested. It doesn't mean go get tested. It means being prepared to get tested. But at this moment, the turnaround time for test results is about a week. There is no automation for those tests, so be concerned about that. If I get any new information, I will come back on my social channels. I don't know if I'll do another podcast, but I'll probably, like I said, in 2 weeks to maybe even a week or maybe 3 days, I'll come back and I'll do another podcast with the updates. But again, stay safe and keep social distancing.